So Halloween 2015 was a couple of weeks ago, but for young Reed Martin, Halloween's been going on sort of since the late summer, hasn't it?
It's the gift that keeps on giving.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or tablet or phone. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 466, Creating Improv Zombies.
Improv Zombies from Hell.
Mm-hmm.
It's a show that you are creating. You and your students are creating at Napa Valley College.
Yes.
It's playing, I guess it opened last week. It's playing this weekend. Everything you told me about it sounds like such a great idea. How did it come about?
Well, I've been on the faculty of Napa Valley College since about 2007, working with Jennifer King, who's chairman of the department there. And
artistic director of Shakespeare Napa Valley, where we workshop Long Lost Shakes.
Exactly. And she was the one who connected us with Sonoma County Rep to workshop sports and the late lamented Napa Valley Rep. And yes, we've put theaters out of business all over the country. So she is on sabbatical this fall in England and in Germany, and so she was looking for someone to direct a show at Napa Valley College in the fall. And we kicked around various ideas, and I said, you know what I'd like to do? I would like to devise a show, or more accurately, have a cast devise a show, and I'll direct it. And I don't know where the idea came from. I just thought, zombies. You know, they're the thing.
Yeah.
So improv zombies from hell. And so we've been rehearsing it since sort of mid to late August.
Uh-huh.
And we have, one more weekend of performances.
Well, and you teach improv at Shakespeare Napa Valley.
Napa Valley College.
At Napa Valley College, obviously. Does Napa Valley College have like an improv team that performs? Do you have a slew of students that you knew, oh, I bet if I work with those handful of students, that'll be great? Or was this a brand new bunch of kids that you were working with?
A little of all of that, yes. Okay. I've taught, I think, probably the first class I ever taught at Napa Valley College was improv. And I don't teach it every year, but I teach it frequently.
Right.
And I did happen to teach it last spring. And so I knew by the time that spring term finished, we were going to be devising a show in the fall. And so I told all those class members, boy, I hope you'll all come audition for the show because, you know, we've just spent 17 weeks working on improv together. And so many of them did.
Uh-huh.
It's a cast of 12. I think five of them were in my improv class last spring, and two of them were in my improv class, several years ago, but took the class, they repeated the class, two of these people. So there are seven people who've taken the improv class, and five who haven't.
And so where do you start? Where do you start creating an improvised zombie show?
Well, we watched zombie movies.
Cool.
For one thing, as you do.
Which ones?
So we watched, the first one we watched was Shaun of the Dead.
Very good. Excellent place to start.
I think we watched five altogether. We watched Shaun of the Dead. We watched the original Night of the Living Dead.
Mm-hmm.
We watched the original Dawn of the Dead. We watched 28 Days Later. We watched Warm Bodies. Oh, we watched six, and we watched Cabin in the Woods, which isn't zombie. Well, it sort of is. There's zombie elements to it.
And where did you and your class come down on the slow, shambling zombie versus speedy virus zombie?
I think our favorite was 28 Days Later.
Yeah.
But that was the movie in general. I mean, I think there's something to be said for slow and steady, and there's something to be said for fast.
Is this a scene in the show, though? I mean, is there a scene in the show that talks about that? Or are you going with the slow, shambling zombies and improv zombies?
We're going with the slow, shambling zombies. So we watch a lot of movies. We spent a lot of time getting to know each other, doing theater games, doing just general improv games.
Okay.
Seven of the cast members I knew, but five I didn't, so I needed to know what their skills were. Then I had them one day I said, bring in a couple of, I call them stupid human tricks. What do you have up your sleeve? I want to find what you do well and find a way to work that into the show. Very much the way you and I do when we write a show for you and me and Dom, or you and me and Matt Rippey or whoever.
Right.
what can we do that we haven't put in a show or that we can bring back? And so that was really interesting.
Finding out what skills these guys have that don't necessarily come up in an acting class.
Yeah, and then, okay, you do that. Go improv, you know, take a half an hour,
right. Go
improvise and come up with a scene based around that skill and bring it back in and let's take a look.
Were there any weird skills that came up that you went, oh, that's interesting, I've never seen that before?
Was there anything... There wasn't anything as weird as, like, you know, fire eating or or inhaling a piece of yarn up your nose and pulling it out your mouth. But one guy is very gifted musically.
Okay.
He's also he sort of does deaf poetry. He can write poetry, and so he's written a beautiful poem.
Uh-huh.
He plays a zombie in the show. There's sort of a Romeo and Juliet.
Okay.
Sort of thing going on between a human and a zombie.
Okay,
and
like Warm Bodies.
Yes, which we didn't realize.
Right.
This was all in development. Then we watched Warm Bodies and go, oh, wow, there's this.
Hey, they stole our idea.
Yeah, they stole our idea. How did they do that before we came up with it? and so, you know, it's very sweet, and it's Romeo and Juliet, and the parents are against it. And then Juliet finally just says, you know, maybe you should be with someone more like you, and I should be with someone more like me. And, you know, you're emotionally unavailable. Because he's spending the whole show going, you know,
because zombies can't talk.
Yeah,
right.
And you know, you're just inarticulate. You're unable to express yourself. And I'm sorry. And so she breaks off the engagement and puts the ring down and leaves the room.
Uh-huh.
And suddenly, you can hear what he's thinking.
Uh-huh.
So he just sort of physically transforms from zombie to standing upright, and he's written this beautiful poem. And my favorite little phrase in it is, he tells her, "You take my death away," and so the audience is all going, "Oh!" And then Juliet walks back into the room just after he finishes, and she says, "Did you say something?" And he nods yes, and then starts to talk and goes, and she leaves again.
Oh, great!
Yeah, we did a preview, and some of the students go, "No, man, no!"
Exactly. Yeah, they want to see it happen. But zombies typically represent a thing. Zombies are metaphors.
Mm-hmm.
So, are they a single metaphor in this show, or do zombies represent many things in this show?
They represent the other most definitely. I think probably the biggest they sort of represent. I'd say the biggest thing would be illegal aliens.
Okay.
Donald Trump is a character, and he wants to build a wall around all the cities to keep out the zombies.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's complaining, you know, I'm seeing signs, you know, green lives matter, you know. Well, don't all lives matter? I'm orange. Don't orange lives matter? You know, and so, and I think there's sort of also little parallels about gay marriage, you know, and people protesting it's unnatural.
Right, a zombie-human relationship is not a traditional marriage.
Right,
yes,
you know,
yes.
And so there's sort of an equivalent of Westboro Baptist Church protesters, you know, God hates zombies, they're protesting. And then the other aspect is there's a fast food joint called McBurgers, and they get an idea that perhaps there's a woman named Dr. Orca Love Diamond, and she has a zombie therapy, zombie rehabilitation therapy, so they can be sort of integrated back into society. And so McBurgers hears about this, and they want to hire the zombies because you don't have to pay them. Don't you have to pay them a living wage? Well, they're dead. That would be unethical to pay them a living wage.
Right.
Hi, I'm Shannon Cochran, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? Our fall and winter tour of 2015-2016 continues this week with performances of The Complete History of Comedy Abridged and then The Ultimate Christmas Show Abridged in Maryland, Missouri, Kansas, California, Ohio, Michigan, and Georgia. And then, next April and May of 2016, we'll perform the official Reduced Shakespeare Company premiere of William Shakespeare's long-lost first play Abridged at the Folger Shakespeare Theater in Washington, D.C. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information.
this is a different way of developing a show than we use. Mm-hmm. We don't create our Reduced Shakespeare Company shows through improv, although we'll have a basic script and we might go off on it sometimes mm-hmm. and go, hey, that kind of worked. Mm-hmm. But like, this is how Second City works. They will use improvisation mm-hmm. and then they will create the scenes and but then they set it. Have you written it down, or are they just repeating what they've done and still having a freedom to improvise?
It's not written down.
Okay.
It is largely set, although we do take audience suggestions and work them into the show.
Oh, cool. All right.
In various ways.
Yeah.
Various settings, yeah. Things like that. We do a two-headed expert scene. McBurger's, it brings in the scientist who's got two heads. And so you're building sentences. One actor says a word, and you know, those of you who don't know the game,
right.
It might be, if Austin and I did it, I'd say, hi.
How
are
you?
Today.
Right.
I'm not very good at it. But
I thought you were going to start being a zombie.
So, you know, so there's some improvisation like that. But basically it's set, you know, so they come up with the scenes and then we refine them. But we haven't written it down. And so, yeah, there's freedom in there. And then they come up with a lot of great scenes and they're just so committed. I'm just mm-hmm. so proud of the cast and they're so invested in the show. And then, so I don't know, a month or 6 weeks ago, I said, well, we've got great scenes. Now we need to figure out how to put them together into a storyline and how to get these storylines crossing each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, but the thing is, I know how to do that. That is something the Reduced Shakespeare Company does. I mean, I would say this show is a much more integrated plot than our shows. But you and I call it reverse engineering.
Yeah.
Is we have 15 sketches and we're making a show and we say, okay, well, how do we connect all these?
Right.
And so that's what I did. I look at the scene. I go, oh, wait a minute. Well, yeah, here's a woman who's got a job at McBurger. So that could be Juliet.
Right.
You know, and so then you figure out how to get different characters into different scenes.
Interesting. So the person who improvised the scene originally might not be the person who actually does the scene, even though you've created that.
Yes, that does happen. And the cast has been very generous about, you know, somebody comes up with an idea and I say, well, you're in the previous scene, so it would be hard for you to be in this, or it would make more sense,
mm-hmm.
You know, if you played Billy Bob in this scene. And let him play. You know.
So, as a director, you're coaching the actors, getting them into place. I mean, creating the environment for them to work, and then you're also shaping the text, cutting things. You go, well, that doesn't really work. Or is that has there been a time where you've had to go, yeah, that doesn't really work, and the cast is going, oh, come on, it really worked?
Very little.
Yeah, everybody kind of agrees.
Yeah, because you do it so much, and that you know, and. Yeah, they just want it to be good and sharp, and I think they feel when things work or don't work. And actually, it's been more the other way on a couple of things. Somebody says, I think I should cut this and this. I said, well, let's at least get an audience. You might be right, but I have a feeling that might work.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah, because, again, as within all shows, you learn when the other member of the show comes in, the other member of the cast comes in, it's the audience.
Well, that's what I told them. This stuff is hilarious to us. Some of this will not be hilarious to audiences, and we'll cut it, which is why we invited people to a run-through some time ago. Yeah, and this whole process, I keep thinking about a class that I took at Berkeley when we were mm-hmm. undergrads,
mm-hmm.
Led by Carl Hammond, who's a friend of ours from Cal, he put together a student-directed improv class in, I think it was, we were on quarters, so it would have been the winter quarter, 1983,
mm-hmm.
Just, you know, improv games and ensemble building and all those sorts of things.
Right.
And that was in preparation for a woman named Shireen Strucker coming over from the Netherlands
mm-hmm.
To create to devise a show.
Okay.
And she ended up devising two shows because so many people wanted to do it.
Right.
Ours was based around Ondine, the Little Mermaid story, but set in modern times.
Okay.
And then in the second group devised a show called Neglect, which was completely from scratch, not unlike Zombies.
Cool. Now, so it's running the middle two weekends of November. Would it have, to use a zombie reference, would it have taken too many brains to to run it over Halloween weekend?
I think the other show was running at that time. Napa does two shows a term.
Uh-huh.
So they were doing a Rogers and Hammerstein.
Stein.
They were doing a Rodgers and Hammerstein review called Some Enchanted Evening. So,
well, I guess which also kind of works on Halloween, an Enchanted Evening.
Yeah, but, you know, zombies are evergreen.
Yeah.
I guess in two senses.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. If you're listening to this in a timely manner during this week of November 16th, 2015, and you're in the San Francisco Bay Area, get the hints to the Napa Valley College production of Improv Zombies from Hell this weekend. Go to NapaValleyTheater.org. That's theater spelled E-R, not R-E. NapaValleyTheater.org for tickets and information. Then send us your cherished zombie tropes via email to feedback@ReducedShakespeare.com. You can also engage with us and other fans on Facebook or Twitter, and I hope you'll post reviews of this podcast on iTunes. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, ReducedShakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, slow and shambling Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout out this week goes to Joseph West. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Shannon Cochran, one of the stars of 2002's The Ring. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener for 166 1398ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. So I know that your cast is going to listen to this and post it on social media. So which are the best cast members so they can really put it on their Facebook pages?
Okay. Well, there's three who are super outstanding. There's... And... That's a zombie.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. Reducing expectations since 1981. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less.